ridiculous things. One of the most ridiculous of all is this idea that sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never harm me. Utter foolishness. In the passages we just read, it talks about how with the mouth we curse men. You can hurt people with words far more than you can with a fist. When I think about the things that have hurt me, it's been words far more than anything else. This morning, what I want to talk about is two types of words that should never come out of a Christian's mouth. I want to talk to you about the ideas of slander and gossip. Slander and gossip. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 28, if you want to look there, Romans chapter 1 and verse 28. God speaks to us and He says, just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper. Being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil. And then He starts specifying particular types, having just listed general categories. It says, full of envy, murder, strife, deceits, malice. They are gossips or slanderers. The New King James Version says, whisperers or backbiters. And it goes on to talk about some other things. Verse 32 says, although they know the ordinance of God that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. It's true. I've been in situations where people are gossiping and slandering, and church leaders, instead of standing up and saying, this shall not be, have actually enabled such conduct. Similarly, over in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 20, we won't take the time to look at the passage, but the same diabolical cousins are listed. Slander, gossip. I want to talk to you about these concepts today because we desperately need to know what the Bible says about these things so we don't do them ourselves. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can hurt me even more. Let's start off by asking the question, what is slander? What is slander? When you look at slander in the Bible, it's an interesting thing that we need to understand. It's different slightly than the way it's used in modern 21st century English. Biblical slander, a good definition, is the malicious sharing of damaging information. The malicious sharing of damaging information. That's a biblical definition of slander. Let's break down these concepts. What we're talking about when you're talking about slander is damaging information. You're talking about information that hurts people, that destroys them, that tears them down. In Psalm chapter 50 and verse 20, if you want to look there, Psalm chapter 50 and verse 20. New American Standard Bible, which is what I'm using, it says, you sit and speak against your brother. You sit and speak against your brother. You slander your own mother's son. So slandering is something you do against somebody. Slander is the sharing of damaging information. Things, like I said, that tear down, that destroy, that curse. Now that doesn't mean necessarily negative information. I mean, sometimes negative information is a positive thing to be shared if you do it properly. I'll just refer to Matthew 18:15. It says, if your brother sins, what do? You go to him and try to work it out between you and him alone. And if that doesn't work, then you take two or three with you. If that doesn't work, then you take it to the church. So you're sharing negative information, but since you're doing it in a godly way, it's a positive, constructive thing. So all slander and gossip is negative information, but not all negative information is slander or gossip. And we're not talking necessarily about false information either. In Proverbs 20 and verse 19, if you want to look there, Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 19. When you're talking about biblical slander, if you have a legal definition, slander probably in 21st century America would involve untruths, but that's not the way the Bible uses the term slander. Look at Proverbs 20 and verse 19. It says, he who goes about as a slanderer or a talebearer reveals secrets. So a slanderer or a talebearer is somebody who reveals secrets. They tell things that they should not be telling. They may be true, but they don't bear repeating. A good example of that was what Ham did with his father Noah. His father Noah got drunk and laid in his tent uncovered. Ham should have just kept that to himself, but he went out and told his brothers. It was a true thing, but it was a slanderous thing. It was an evil thing because it did not bear repeating. So when you're talking about slander, you're talking about sharing negative, damaging information. Not just necessarily negative information, because sometimes you need to share negative information to bless a person. And understand that just because something is true does not mean you can repeat it. A lot of things that are true that just don't serve any purpose being repeated, you can use truth to destroy sometimes as well as you can use lies. I mean, there's a lot of things about all of us that just don't need to be talked about. God's put them in the past, we've put them in the past, serve no purpose, and they need to be left there. All right, so slander is the malicious sharing of damaging information. It's the idea of sharing information. It's the idea of usually it's the idea of secretly sharing damaging information. You know, and that's why they talk about whispering or backbiting, because it's usually something that you do behind a person's back, but not always. You can slander somebody face to face, but usually the way it happens is you talk bad about somebody behind their back. If you look at Psalm 101 verse 5, you'll see this. Typically, when you're talking about slander, you're talking about secretly sharing damaging information, but it's not exclusively so. But the point is that you're telling this information to other people. In Psalm 101 verse 5, it says, "Whoever secretly slanders his neighbor, him I will destroy." And that's typically the pattern. You go around, you know, talking behind people's back, backbiting, whispering. I mean, why are you whispering? It's because like you don't want anybody to hear. Okay. And then finally, the thing that separates gossip from slander, as we're going to talk about here in just a moment, is the idea of malice. Slander is intentionally sharing damaging information for the purpose of doing just that, hurting or destroying. Look at Psalm 31 and verse 13. Psalm 31 and verse 13. Slander is all about doing something with the express intention of hurting somebody. Okay? So if you're going to slander somebody, you want to hurt them. You do hurt them with words. Psalm 31 verse 13 says, "I have heard the slander of many. Terror is on every side. They took counsel together against me. They schemed to take my life away." So here's someone being slandered, and it's very clear that there's malicious intent involved. So that's what slander is. And it's so important for us to make sure we understand what these biblical words mean. Because if we read them and don't understand them, we're not going to get from what the Bible's telling us what we need if we don't understand the building blocks of these sentences and these verses and these chapters and these books which compose the Bible. You got to understand what these words mean. And slander is maliciously sharing information that damages other people. Now let's contrast that with gossip. What is the difference between slander and gossip? And there is a difference, because in Romans 1, 28 through 32 that we shared, and we also made the reference to 2 Corinthians, you have laundry lists of sins. Both of these words are found in both places. So there's a difference between slander and gossip. And how many of us could definitively say right now, "Oh, I know what the difference is"? Brethren, we've got to know what these words mean. Otherwise, how can we possibly know we're not doing things that we should not be doing? So what is gossip? Well, in the Bible, gossip is sharing damaging information without malicious intent, but for equally unacceptable reasons. What is a gossip? A gossip is not a person that intentionally wants to hurt somebody, but because of other motivations, they're saying things that are damaging to other folks, and they're wrong for doing it. Then the question becomes, well, why do people gossip then? If they don't want to hurt somebody, why do people gossip? Well, there's a lot of possible reasons. One is idleness. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 13. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 13. This is a very important passage on this particular subject. Sometimes we say things we shouldn't say that hurt people because, well, we got nothing else to do. So if you don't have anything else to do, what do you start doing? Well, you start doing this when you ought to be busy doing something else and not have enough time to do. That's what you ought to be doing. It says there in verse 13 of 1 Timothy chapter 5, "At the same time they learn to be idle as they go around from house to house, and not merely idle, but also gossips and busybodies. Which brings me to another reason why people gossip, is they're just curious. So what's going on with so-and-so? Oh, have you heard about so-and-so? We don't want to hurt so-and-so, but we're just curious. Some other things. Sometimes we just talk about people because it's fun to hear dirt on folks. Look at Proverbs 18 and verse 8. Proverbs 18 and verse 8. Why are there so many gossip rags, is the way we used to put them, National Enquirer? That may date me. I don't know if it's still around or not. I'm glad I don't know that anymore. But there's it used to be when you check out at the grocery store, there'd be all these magazines full of gossip about folks. And why do those sell so well? Because people just, they love to hear about other folks. It says there in Proverbs 18 and verse 8, the words of a whisperer are like dainty morsels, and they go down into the innermost parts of the body. For some people, gossip is like eating a really good bite of food. Why do you eat a really good bite of food? Well, I personally eat a really good bite of food because it tastes good. It's pleasurable. And that's a reason why some people gossip. It's just fun to them. Sometimes we gossip because we're mad. We looked at this passage recently. We're supposed to be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath, because the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Sometimes we use damaging information to hurt people, not because we really want to, it's just because we're mad at them. And if you could, in the midst of an outburst of wrath, if you could freeze frame everybody and stop and say, you know what you're doing right now? You're hurting this person. Yeah, I know. Is that what you want to be doing right? Do you really want to hurt your wife or your husband or your child? Is that what you really want to do? No. Then why are you doing it? Well, because my temper's got control of me. I don't have control of it. And so there's other reasons why we gossip. The whole point is that gossip is sharing damaging information with people, but not for the purpose of hurting them, but for equally unacceptable reasons. I mean, sometimes we gossip because of attention. You know, if nobody's paying any attention to you, hey, everybody, did you hear about so-and-so? You get everybody's attention. Sometimes you'll gossip about people because you're jealous. They've got something you want, or you're competing for something you both want. And so one way to secure your advantage is to say, well, you know, he's a good guy, but have you heard about this or that? And sometimes we gossip out of envy or low self-esteem. That's a really sad thing. I'll never forget in my studies, there was a guy back in the ancient past who was called the Just. He was called the Just, and they were voting whether to expel him from the city that he lived in. And this fellow passed by, couldn't see very well, passed by the guy that was actually called the Just. And this guy asked the fellow that couldn't see very well, that was on his way to vote, and he said, well, how are you going to vote? I'm going to banish him. Why? I'm just tired of hearing him called the Just. So instead of trying to elevate ourselves to other people's heights of achievement, what we want to do is bring people down to our level. And that's why we gossip. It's not that we really want to hurt them, it's just that we don't want to improve ourselves. Or it's not really that we don't want to hurt them, it's not really that we want to hurt them, it's just that they've got something we want. Or we don't want to hurt them, we just want attention, and we're mad, we it's fun, and we're curious, we're idle. But you see the difference? One is slander, which is a malicious hurting somebody with damaging information. Gossip, you're doing it for other motives, but you're still hurting people with your tongue. And remember, sticks and stones, they do break your bones, but words can harm you even more. And we don't want anything to be done with words to people's spiritual detriment. So let's talk a little bit about why it is that they're sinful. Why is slander and gossip sinful? Why do they damage and destroy? Well, let me suggest to you several things that slanderers and gossips do. First of all, they destroy reliability. If you're a gossip or a slanderer, you have to realize if you're listening to somebody do that when somebody else is, the people they're talking about aren't around, do you know what that kind of person will do when you're not around? They'll slander and gossip you. I've come to realize this. It wasn't too long ago I was in a situation where church leadership was doing some things in terms of the way they were treating people, and I thought, man, they shouldn't do this. And my biggest concern was, you know what? If it suits them, they will do this to me. And that turned out to be the case. I've got a sermon I'm working on called The Golden Rule, Variations on a Theme. And one of the variations of the theme is this: people will do unto you as they do unto others. So if you're the kind of person that talks behind people's back, maliciously or otherwise, and you hurt people, you're damaging your reliability, your trustworthiness. And brethren, if somebody's talking bad about others in your presence, when you're not present, they're going to be talking bad about you. It also damages reputations. It damages their own reputation if you're a slanderer or a gossip. Look at Proverbs 25, verse 9. Proverbs 25 and verse 9. We're going to look at a lot of verses this morning because the Bible has a whole lot to say about this very important subject. I mean, James chapter 3 basically talks about how, you know, a little spark can destroy a great forest. A little rudder can control a great ship. And so this little tongue can do untold kinds of damage. So we need to bridle it very hard. We can't ever tame it. That's why you got to control it. Make sure it doesn't control you. Because if you don't, and you're a slanderer or a gossip, you will ruin your reputation. Scripture says, argue your case with your neighbor and do not reveal the secret of another, or he who hears it will reproach you, and the evil report about you will not pass away. You don't want to get a reputation for being a gossip or slanderer, because that's a hard reputation to get over. And not only do you hurt yourself, but you also hurt your victims. Politicians know this real well. They don't have to prove anything. All they have to get up and make allegations. And they may be totally false, but you know what? It's very difficult, very, very difficult for people who have been charged with guilt, even if they're innocent, to get over the damage to the reputation. In Deuteronomy chapter 22, we won't read this passage, but basically the Old Testament scripture said, if you married a woman and you falsely charged her with sexual immorality, and it was proven that your charge was false, the point was you could never, ever, ever divorce this woman. Why? Well, because of what you've just done to her character, even though it's been proven false, there's a stigma going to be attached to her, and her chances of finding somebody that wants to marry her are slim or none. So slander and gossip is a terrible thing because it destroys your trustworthiness, it destroys reputations, and it destroys relationships. If you're a slanderer or a gossip, you're going to hurt your relationships with people. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 20. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 20. We have to be so careful, brethren, saying negative things about people. Why? Because it has a way of getting back to the people we're talking about. It's funny how we do this. Well, somebody will say, I got something I want to tell you real bad, but you've got to promise me you won't tell anybody. Okay, I promise. And then what do you soon do? Well, you turn around yourself and say, ooh, you find somebody else and say, ooh, I got something I really, really want to tell you, but I'll tell you if you promise not to tell anybody else. And you're violating the very thing you're committing the other person to. And who's to say that they're going to be any more honorable or trustworthy than you? So don't be naive and think that you can say things behind people's backs and it won't ultimately get back to them. That's what the scripture says. Ecclesiastes 10 verse 20 says, furthermore, in your bedchamber do not curse a king, and in your sleeping rooms do not curse a rich man, for a bird of the heavens will carry the sound and the winged creature will make the matter known. Be sure your sins will find you out. And what happens when you slander, you gossip about people? Look at Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 28. I don't know about you, but it's so hurtful to find that somebody you count as a friend is talking behind your back bad about you. And it could be just because they're mad or something like that. They're not trying to hurt you. They're just not thinking before they speak. I would just assume them just smack me in the face with a fist than to just talk behind my back. It hurts. It hurts. In Proverbs chapter 16, verse 28 says, a perverse man spreads strife, and a slanderer separates intimate friends. So don't be the kind of person that goes around backbiting and whispering, because you're going to separate yourself from people that you count as friends, and you're going to separate yourself also from God. Look at Psalm 15 and verse 1. Psalm chapter 15 and verse 1. Brethren, this is serious business because God says don't do it. Don't say things about people that are going to tear them down and do them no good. God won't stand for it. Psalm 15 and verse 1. Hear the words of the Lord, brethren. O Lord, who may abide in your tent? Who may dwell on your holy hill? He who walks with integrity and works righteousness and speaks truth in his heart. Now notice verse 3. And he does not slander with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor. And the idea is, if you want to dwell in God's holy hill, you're not going to needlessly hurt people with your mouth or your deeds. And you're not going to be a gossip. You're not going to just pick up what somebody else says and pass it along unless you know it's true and it serves a constructive purpose. Well, that's why the next phrase says, nor takes up a reproach against his friends. So, why is this such a serious business? Well, it's a serious business because people need to be able to depend upon us, and if we're gossips and slanderers, they can't. It's going to hurt our reputations. And not only us, it's going to hurt the people that we're talking about. It's like a fly in a perfumer's ointment. Just a little bit of folly can cause all kinds of problems. You know, be very careful when you're talking about other people. And then it hurts relationships with men as well as with God. It's serious business. It's very serious business. But is it all that big a problem? I mean, yeah, if you do it, it's a big deal. But is it really done that much? And the answer to that is yes. Look at Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse 4. Jeremiah 9 verse 4. This passage, brethren, is telling us what's going on today. I'm not getting up here being self-righteous. I sin by slander and gossip myself. I certainly hope I'm not maliciously trying to hurt people, but I know I say things that I should not sometimes, and I'm working on that. It is awfully difficult not to say things that you should not say. We all have that problem, and some of us have it more than others. Look at Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse 4. Here was the warning of God to his people back in the Old Testament times. And if you looked at 2 Timothy 3, we won't read the passage, but if you look at 2 Timothy 3, you see the problems still exist in the church today. But here's the problem. Let everyone be on guard against his neighbor. Do not trust any brother. Oh, why? That's pretty powerful. Let everyone be on guard against his neighbor and do not trust any brother. Why? Because every brother deals craftily and every neighbor goes about as a slanderer. Be careful who you trust. Because if you're not careful, people you think are your friends are going to actually use the information you share with them to hurt you when you share it with them in order to help them or have them help you. So, brethren, this is a problem. It's a problem in the church today. So many times churches divide, fracture, split because of loose lips that sink ships. It's a serious, widespread problem. So let's finish the lesson by asking, well, what do we do about it? What must we do about slander and gossip? Let me suggest to you several things. First of all, if we are slandering and gossiping, we need to repent. We need to repent. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1, look there. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. If you talk behind people's backs, either maliciously or not, but you talk behind people's backs and you're hurting people with your tongue, you need to repent. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1 says, therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. So we are to put aside all malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander. It's something that needs to be a part of our past. Let me suggest to you that before you ever say anything negative about somebody else, there's at least 5 questions you need to ask. And these are things that we should commit to memory. Let me say it again. Anytime you're going to say something negative about somebody, at least 5 things you should ask yourself before you do it. First, do I know that it's true? Do I know that it's true? You know, sometimes we just pass along things we hear because, man, it sounded good. But you know what the scripture says? Look at Proverbs 18 and verse 17. Proverbs 18 and verse 17. It says, the first to plead his cause seems right until another comes and examines it. Sometimes things sound so good, but you know what? They can be totally wrong. And if we don't do what the Bible says, what does the Bible say? Deuteronomy 19:15 and a lot of other places says, before you pass on negative information about somebody, you make sure it's true, and you do that by verifying it by 2 or 3 witnesses. You know, don't take just somebody's word for it. Don't say just because you read about it in the paper, it must be true. Verify it's true. Make sure that whatever you say about somebody that's negative is going to be true. Second thing, though, would it serve a constructive purpose? Is there any reason why this needs to be said? Look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29. Ephesians 4 and 29. I'm not saying there's not a time and place to say negative things about people, because that's what they need. That will bless them. But you need to make sure that that's actually the case. In Ephesians 4 and 29, it says, "Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear." So when you're going to say something negative, you need to stop yourself. And even if it's true, you need to stop and say, what purpose will this serve? Is this intended to bless? Or if not, is it going to curse? A third question that needs to be asked. Am I talking to the right person? You know, sometimes we need to share negative information about people with other people, but not necessarily with the person we're talking to. Is it any of the business of the person that I'm sharing this with? Or is somebody else the person that needs to hear this matter? And there's just so many scriptures. I won't take the time to refer to them all, but there's so many scriptures that make the point that sometimes you got to share negative information about people, but just make sure that it serves a constructive purpose and make sure you're talking to the right person. A couple of other things. Am I saying it in the right way? Make sure that when you talk about people that you do so in a spirit of love and kindness. And the fifth thing that you should always do before you ever talk about people negatively is ask God to help you. So many good passages here. Look at Psalm 19:14. Brethren, that tongue gets us into so much trouble. Most of the time we should be doing this. Before we start doing this, we need to do this. Does that make sense? So before you do this, keep this, and do this. If you doubt that, notice what the psalmist said in Psalm 19:14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. It is very difficult. I mean, there are times in life you have to unfortunately say negative things about other people. But it is exceedingly difficult to do it in a righteous way. And that's why you need to go down this checklist before you say anything negative. Do I know it's true? Will it serve a constructive purpose? Am I talking to the right person about this? Am I saying it in a kind and loving manner? And have I asked God to give me wisdom and strength so that I might not sin with my tongue? And brethren, here's something I think is very important. We need to be really careful when we talk about the leaders of our land. Talk about our rulers. Look at Ephesians. Look at Acts 23 and verse 5. Acts 23 and verse 5. I don't care what political party you are involved. If you're a Democrat, you tend to slander Republicans. If you're a Republican, you tend to slander Democrats. Some of the stuff we pass along on the emails is nothing other than sinful material that should not be read, much less passed along. If you doubt God, it takes very seriously when we say negative things in a destructive way about leaders. Paul said, when he was chastised for that, in Acts chapter 23 and verse 5, it says, I was not aware, brethren, that he was a high priest, which is whom Paul had just spoken against. He says, you shall not, quotes the Old Testament, saying, you shall not speak evil of a ruler of your people. We think that just because they're in office, then we get a free pass. We can say any negative thing we want to about it in any disrespectful manner that we care to say it. That's not right. One great way we can be different from the world is just in the way we talk about our leaders, brethren. So what do we need to do about slander and gossip? Well, first of all, if we're doing it, we need to stop it. We need to repent. But the problem is not just speaking gossip. The problem is also listening to it. You're not holier than the person who's gossiping or slandering if you're listening to gossip and slander. And if you doubt that, look at Proverbs 17 and verse 4. It's just as wrong to listen to slander and gossip as it is to slander and gossip. Proverbs 17 verse 4 says, an evildoer listens to wicked lips. Now, who listens to wicked lips? Who listens to words that are harming other people, whether maliciously or not? An evildoer does. Isn't that what it says? Then drop to Proverbs 20 and verse 19. Proverbs 20 and verse 19. What does it say? It says, we've read the first part of the verse, he who goes about as a slanderer reveals secrets. So what's the point about that? And let's notice what it says. It says, therefore, do not associate with a gossip. Do not associate with a gossip. Before we listen to any negative thing, so the first checklist was, what do you do before you talk negatively about other people? Now this checklist is, what do you do before you listen to anything negative about other people? I would suggest to you at least two things. Number one, ask the speaker, have you talked to the person you're talking about this matter? Have you talked to them? And if they say no, then you say, well, you go talk to them first and then we'll talk later. When I've preacher trained in Tucson, Arizona, where I'd gone to college. I went back to preacher train there for a couple of years. And one of the elders said, you know, when people came to him and started bad-mouthing the preacher, he would stop them and say, wait a minute, have you talked to the preacher? Have you talked to him about this first? And if they said no, he says, I don't want to hear another word until you do. And then he said, sometimes they would keep on talking, and he would just sit there, and he said, what I'd do is I'd just sit there, nod my head, and when they finally had vented whatever they wanted to say, he forgot it just as soon as he heard it. He never did anything with that information, which is a wisdom of unspeakable magnitude. So the first thing you got to ask yourself is, has the person he's talking about been spoken to? And the second thing is, you got to ask yourself, is it my business? Scripture makes it very clear that we are to mind our own business. And sometimes negative things need to be said about a person, but not to us. It's not our place. So if you hear people talking about other people in a negative, destructive way, make sure that it's not destructive by making sure that they first talk to the person they're talking about. And if they've done that, if you don't have any business hearing it, say, stop. I don't need this information. And here's a point that I think is very important. If you can't answer yes to both of these questions, the person who's doing the talking can't answer, if the answer to both questions isn't yes, here's what you need to do. First of all, you need to refuse to listen. Stop listening. Don't listen to it. Second thing you need to do is to insist the person who's doing the talking repent. Don't, you know, tell them what you're doing is wrong and you need to stop it. Number three, don't use the information you hear. That's why I appreciated that elder so much. He says, you know what, I'm not going to reward somebody who's doing something wrong by listening to what they have to say. And I think that's so wise. And number four is, don't protect such people. I've been preaching now over 30 years, and I've been on the losing end of some of these kind of things enough to where I've come to this conclusion. If I'm going to tell you something bad that somebody else has said about you, something negative that somebody else has said about you, I'm not going to say it unless I'm willing to give you the source of who said it. You know, and if you don't want me telling somebody what you're saying about them, don't tell me. I mean, if you're talking bad about somebody, they should already have heard it from you. Not necessarily bad. If you're talking negatively about somebody, the only reason they're talking to you about it should be because they've already talked to them first and now they're doing the next step in a way to try to save them from their sins. So, and I've seen this. People come to you and say, well, I've heard this and this and this. Okay, well, who said that thing? I'm not going to tell you. And what are you doing? You're protecting evildoers. You're protecting wickedness. Now, if you've made a promise, you know, if you said, okay, somebody said, I'm going to share this with you if you promise not to share it with anybody else, you got to keep your word. But I would be very careful making those kind of commitments. And before you just start blanketly saying, okay, I promise not to repeat this, one of the important questions would be, why do you want me to make this promise? Why do you want me to, are you wanting me to protect you from doing something you're about to do which you shouldn't be doing? Or is there a nobler purpose in mind that you have? So you see what I'm getting at? What do we do about slander and gossip? One is we repent if we're doing it. And it's not just about speaking it, it's also about listening to it. And so if we're listening to gossip, slander, we need to repent. We refuse to listen to it. We insist that people repent of such behavior. don't use the information, the ill-gotten information, in a negative way about the against the person that this person was talking about in a way they shouldn't have been saying it. And then don't protect wicked people. They need to be held to account. If they're out there talking behind people's backs, they ought to be held accountable for it. You don't do them any favors by protecting them from being held accountable for their ungodliness. And a third thing I would suggest that we need to do about slander and gossip is we need to respond properly if we're victimized by it. A lot of times we're on the losing end of slander and gossip, and I would suggest to you at least seven things to do. And I know this is very what I call a listy sermon. I'm giving you a lot of very practical bullet points. But boy, we need this information. We need to memorize these things. Keep this outline in your Bible or somewhere so that you can refer to it readily, because this is practical stuff. Remember, the whole first half of the third chapter of James is devoted to how this little thing causes so much damage. Over and over again, from cover to cover, God is talking about how we need to bridle the tongue. And so we need this information. I don't know how else to get it to you but by giving it to you, giving you what God says. And here's what God says to do if you're the victim of slander and gossip. First of all, set a good example. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 12. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 12. If somebody's out there talking against you in a bad, negative way, remember, people are watching you. Your light never shines so brightly as the way you, if you respond in a godly way when other people are treating you in an ungodly manner. If you doubt that, look at 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 12. It says the same thing later on too, but for time's sake, we'll just refer to this passage. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. When people are talking bad about you, that's the time to really let your light shine. Number two, be humble. Be humble. Look at Ecclesiastes 7:21. This is a very good verse that we need to commit to memory. Ecclesiastes 7:21. Sometimes we can get so self-righteous. I heard you were talking about me. Is it true? Did you do that? How could you do that? How could you do that? Get off, you know, we need to get off our high horse. We do the same thing too. That's what Ecclesiastes 7:21 says. Also, it says, do not take seriously all words which are spoken, so that you will not hear your servant cursing you, for you also have realized that you likewise have cursed many times others. So we need to be humble. Third, don't return evil for evil. If somebody's talking bad about you behind their back, don't do the same thing. Don't overcome evil with good. Number four, let your anger go. If you've heard people talking, that people are talking negatively, destructively behind your back, it should bother you. It should hurt you. But let it go. Don't hold on to that. Don't let it cause you to have an outburst of wrath. Don't hold on to that anger and to let it settle into bitterness and those kind of things. For time's sake, look at Proverbs 25:23. Look at Ephesians 4:31. Let all bitterness, and it's interesting the way that Scripture, you know, I love Kevin's class on connections, because I feel the same way about these verses we're looking at. There's, you know, it says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. There's a reason why those words are grouped together in that particular sentence, because they're related to one another. And so if you don't want to be bitter, and you don't want to have outbursts of wrath, and you don't want to have settled anger, and you don't want to yell and scream, and you don't want to talk bad about the people behind their back, okay? And so since you don't want to do those things, especially since for our purposes you don't want to talk bad about people behind their back, let your anger go. Let your anger go. See? Let it go. Now that doesn't mean you ignore that they did wrong. It just means that if you let your anger go, now you can help the slanderer and the gossip repent of their sins. You're not going to get very far if you get in their face and self-righteously condemn them. But if you lovingly and humbly say, brother, this is something you should not do, then you can get somewhere. Look at 1 Corinthians 4:13, a very interesting verse, 1 Corinthians 4:13. I know I say that a lot, but there's a whole bunch of really interesting verses in the Bible. In fact, pretty much every verse in the Bible is a very interesting verse. But 1 Corinthians 4:13, Paul said, when we are slandered, we try to conciliate. The New King James Version says, when we're defamed, we entreat. And the idea is, if somebody is out there talking bad about you behind your back, don't do the same thing to them they're doing to you. You go to that person and say, I've heard from these sources that this is what you're doing. Is that true or not? And if it is true, let's work out our problems. You know, I don't want there to be anything between us. Let's work out our problems. And man, that's why it's so frustrating when people predict, you know, somebody will come to you and say, well, so I heard so-and-so say this or that about you. Who was it? Oh, I'm not going to tell you who it was. I've just heard things. Yeah, but who's saying these things? I'm not going to tell you. That's so destructive. Because what you have is you have strife, you have division, you have people that are at odds with each other. And the way you solve those problems is not ignore them and protect evildoing. The way you solve those problems is you get them out on the open. You go to people that are talking bad about you behind your back, and you ask if it's true, and if it's the truth, you figure out what the problem is, and you solve the problem so that you can grow in your relationship with one another. And that's why it's so important for us to seek peace, because that's what life is all about. Number six, if you're being talked bad about because you're standing for the truth, rejoice. We talked about that in our class on the Sermon on the Mount. You know, a lot of times people are talking bad about us because we're their conscience and they don't want to listen to their conscience. They're trying to silence their conscience. You make them feel bad because you're standing for truth and they know they're doing wrong. And so instead of changing, they're going to put you down. Okay? If that's what's happening to you, be happy. Don't get mad. Don't get bitter. Don't get angry. Because what you're trying to do is to help people by helping them learn the Lord. And you know, if people, this is hard. It's hard to do, but it's you gotta start somewhere, and you gotta get the theory down. And the theory says this: certain people who don't want to change are going to get mad at you if you tell them they need to change. So if somebody's out there slandering and gossiping, and you go to them and you say you ought not do this, they're going to get mad. They're probably going to say bad things about you. Should that upset you? Not really. It should sadden you that people get mad and they're not going to repent, but you don't let that ruin your day. Because why? Well, because you're trying to help that person become a better human being, draw closer to God. You're the answer to their problems. You're not their problem. So don't let it upset you. Rejoice. And finally, I would have you turn to Psalm 119. Two more verses and we'll be done. Turn to Psalm 119, verse 22. Psalm 119, verse 22. What do you do if you're the victim of slander and gossip? Just look at what it says here. It says, Psalm 119, 22. What a great verse. It says, take away reproach and contempt from me. So what he's asking God is, God, please help make this stop. So he's praying. He says, for I observe your testimonies. He's obedient. Okay, and then he goes on to say, he says, even though princes sit and talk against me, your servant meditates on your statutes. He studies the word of God. He says, your testimonies are my delight, they are my counselors. And I'm not self-righteous. I have a hard time. I struggle with this just like anybody else does. But instead of sitting there letting a broken record go around in your brain, focusing it once and again, once and again, once and again on what somebody said bad about you, go fill your mind with something positive. When that record is broken and you're going in the same rut, you know who's playing the record? That you're letting the devil play the record. Let God put you on a new track. What you need to do is ask him for help. You need to do what you know you need to be doing, and then fill your mind with the word of God. And then, I wish we had more time, but Psalm 37 is so powerful. The whole psalm is devoted to what do you do when you're doing right and evildoers are out there doing wrong and it seems like they're getting more blessings than you are. You know what God says? Don't worry about it. I'll vindicate you. You'll be okay. Sometimes we get so mad because, you know, this is going to hurt my reputation. It may for a moment. But you know what? If you're a faithful servant of God, your reputation will take care of itself. You take care of God's business, and he will take care of your reputation. Psalm 37 is all about that. So like I said at the beginning, children are told some silly things by adults. One of the silliest of all is that sticks and stones can break your bones, but words can never harm you. That's so wrong. I think words can hurt you in ways that fists never can. I mean, when you think about the hurtful things in your life, I think about the words I heard, not the slaps that I received. So let's do what James 1:26 says. Let's make sure that we're not slandering and gossiping ourselves. Let's make sure we're not listening to that business. And when we're the victims of it, let's make sure we're reacting in a godly way. Here's God talking to all of us. And hear me, y'all. Hear God. If anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless.